The rest of us, like I said, I have a message prepared on my desk right now for Thanksgiving. But the Lord impressed it on my heart that I need to preach this message today for some reason. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you'd take your Bibles and turn there. We've been dealing with the idea of the gifts. Each one of you have a gift. The moment you were saved, you were baptized by Christ into the body of Christ. And God uses the church, the local church today, to accomplish his purpose. But you were baptized into the body of Christ with the Holy Spirit. You were given the Holy Spirit to go with you. But with that, you were also given a gift. Each one of you received a gift. Now, some people have more than one gift. Some people are very gifted and very talented and ability. But you have at least one gift that God has given to you to accomplish not your purpose, but his purpose for your life. You were given a gift. That's why somebody sits back and says, well, there's nothing I can do for the Lord. That's where you're wrong. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because that's a little bit what was taking place in the Corinthian church. There were two attitudes in the Corinthian church. One, the attitude was, well, I have no use. I have no gift. I have no abilities. There's nothing I can do to make a difference. But then there was a group who thought they were God's gift. How can the church survive without me? Those were the two attitudes that Paul dealt with when it came to the gifts. And so within that thought, I came across something and can put it this way to you, there's an individualistic and individualism that I've never thought about until I got to this passage. But individualism is appealing today to each man, the natural man, because he's inclined not only to do his own thing, but he wants to do it alone, or at least without depending upon others or obeying others or being responsible to others. I think individualism has hit Christianity and it's hit the world today. You know, a good word to describe that would be committed. People just don't want to be committed. They want to do what they want to do in their timing, because that's individualism. And that's what was taking place in the church of Corinth. You know, but that isn't new, because you go back in the Bible time all the way back to Adam and Eve's first children, Cain and Abel. And Cain renounced his ability, his responsibility for his brother when God asked Cain, where's your brother? And he said, am I my brother's keeper? So that goes all the way back to even with the first family that God ever created. Man dislikes the thought of being responsible for others, and that's what the gift is. You received a gift not to make you a better person, but you received a gift one day to be used for others, for the benefit of others. It'll benefit you when we get to heaven one day at the judgment seat of Christ. But that gift isn't given to you to benefit you. It's given to you to benefit others and make a difference for the glory of Jesus Christ and to others. But that's why I believe man rebels a little bit against the gifts. You know, the philosophy that we are self-sufficient and do not need anyone else, that comes straight from Satan's philosophy. And it's opposite of God's plan and God's will for men and ladies. Even as Christians, we sometimes fall prey to the notion that because we're complete in Christ and he is our sufficiency, that we really don't need anyone else to live the faithful Christian life. Yet that idea is completely against Scripture. For God has made us and redeemed us not only for himself, but for each other. You have a purpose. And God, that's why God uses the local church today to be an encouragement to others. You need the church and the church needs you. Well, I don't need church. I have people tell me that all the time, but you do. But that's that individuality. That's straight from the philosophy of Satan. Because he doesn't want you committed. He doesn't want you to depend it. But you've got a gift, and that gift is given to you for the benefit of others. You know, again, think about it like this. What have you ever heard the gospel or learned about God if someone hadn't led you to Christ? A preacher hadn't preached a message about Christ. A Sunday school teacher. Or somebody gave you a gospel tract or invited you to church. Would have you ever been come to the point in your life where you got saved? You know, you would have grown in faith and obedience had it not been for Christian teachers and pastors and parents and friends who helped and guided you along the way. Yes, you do need others. See, we cannot fulfill the ministry that God has given us, whatever it is, without being dependent upon others. And I say that because even Jesus Christ, that's what I went to. I went to his example. He was incarnate son of God. He is God. And when he came to this earth, before he began his public ministry, and that's what's amazing about it, he didn't begin his public ministry until he was 30 years of age. So what did he do for 30 years of age? Well, he lived with and helped support his family. If from all the research I've done, it's believed that Joseph died at a younger age. And so Jesus probably worked did he have to? He is God. He was deity. But he chose to work alongside of people and support his mother and support his family. You see, he set the example that we need somebody else. We need others. And then the 3 years of his life that were spent in his ministry, he was in constant companionship with 12 men that he called his disciples or apostles. And then my hero in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, he stands out so visibly amongst church leaders that sometimes we think of him as being independent and individualistic. But if you really look at the Apostle Paul, that image is far from the truth, for he traveled and worked in a company of other believers who shared his companionship and ministry. He was a tent maker. He even worked in a tent ministry alongside, not so he could gain money for himself, but that he could be a blessing to others. You know, if you read each one of his books, at the end of the books, it talks about all the people that he appreciated so much. And think about it, he traveled with Barnabas and Silas and Mark and Luke and Apollos and Timothy all over this continent. And so individualism, not with Christ, not with Paul. It's the idea, I don't want to be committed to others, but that's the gift that God has given to you. And there's really two primary reasons why Christians have a battle with ministry. One, some people feel they have no gifts, no abilities. They're not worthwhile. And there may be somebody in this room or a number of you in this room would lend toward that you know what, I really had nothing to offer. I mean, I'm not talented. I don't have many abilities. But listen to me, folks. You are gifted. You have a gift. And that gift was given to you to use for the glory of God to affect somebody else and be a blessing to somebody else. I don't know what your gift is. I'm pretty much convinced what my gifts are. And I try every day that I pray that God will help me to understand my gift and use my gift to make a difference for eternity, but not to bless me, but to bless others. But some feel like they have no gift. No abilities, no talents. So I'm just going to let others do the work. But in the Corinthian church, this is what was really there, is there were men there and ladies there that felt highly qualified, that they didn't really need the help of others to perform the ministry, because you know what? The ministry was based upon them. They were the kingpin. I mean, this ministry couldn't survive without me. You know, we have a tendency to get that way sometimes. You know, there's some people in the church that you say, boy, if they weren't in the church, man, the church is just going to fall apart. But it doesn't work that way, folks. Because no matter how gifted you are, no matter how much upfront you are, you're not the difference maker. It's when all of us apply our gifts so the person who is never up front, and we'll talk about this in just a minute, is just as important as anybody else. And the Corinthian church, they not only did they think they had gifts they didn't have, but they used them wrongly because they said Jesus was a curse. Go back to the first part of chapter 12. They were teaching wrong doctrine. They were teaching wrong biblical principles. because they thought the church couldn't survive. That's why there was so much division in that Corinthian church, because people thought they were better than what they were. And so Paul uses an illustration here in verses 21 through 27 about the body to help you to understand your importance to God's purpose for your life. See, neither individualism of supposed inferiority or the individualism of the proud independence is biblical or what God wants for your life. He wants you to be used of God. So really, the first kind of individuals we talked about say, well, they don't need me. But the second individual says, I don't need them. But both of them wrong. We do need you, and you do need us. As you can see in this passage in verse 21, let me read it for you. In the eye, that's where Paul says this. Look at it. The eye cannot say unto the hand. Now, we've used the illustration of the body last week. The body functions in a wonderful way with the brain being the head, Christ being the head of the body. And it has all our parts, but the brain sends signals. And now a body works completely together, not one being more important than the others, because they've all got to work together. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a second. But Paul said, use the illustration, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor can the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. That's the idea. I don't need anybody. I have arrived. God is blessed to have me. But Paul is trying to show you that the eye has no right to say that. And the head has no right to say that to the feet. In this passage, you cannot say that. But that was the attitude of the Corinthian church. A few prominent and gifted members acted if they were self-sufficient and they could carry on the ministries daily. And the Christian living completely by themselves with only a select few, and that's what created the divisions. That's what created the lack of making an impact in Corinth. And Paul saw it. They overestimated their importance and underestimated the importance of other believers. See, Paul tells us that on the contrary. Look at verse 22. He says, the eye cannot say unto the hand. In verse 21, I have no need of you, or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. He said, you all have a purpose. You all are needed desperately. As important as some prominent members of the human body are, you know, it's possible to live. You know, we think about this, because when we think about the prominent members of our body, we think of our hands, we think of our eyes, we think of our ears. You couldn't hear, you couldn't see. But you could lose an eye or your eyes. You can lose a leg, as we've saw in this church with a couple of our folks. You can lose a hand. You can lose some fingers. And you can still function. Now, not as purely and not as good as you could have, but you can still function. But what happens if your heart stops? Your liver? Your brain? When you lose those things, we don't think much about them. We don't think about them until we lose them. But it all works together. There's a lot of parts of your body that work together that you wouldn't consider to be that important, but they are. That's the idea. Those less noticeable parts seem to be weaker than much of the rest of the body, yet Paul says they are necessary. There are many vital ministries in the church that include some that are not obvious. The faithful prayer of some, the service of a few dedicated members who hold no office, but the reliable and productive channels of spiritual power in the congregation, because you pray, you spend time with God, you hand out a gospel tract. Listen, you can hand a gospel tract out this week and nobody's going to know it. Nobody's going to put a sign up on the board and say that so-and-so passed out a tract this week, or so-and-so invited somebody to church. So-and-so spent 6 hours in prayer this week for people. It's not there. It's something you'll never know of. But I want you to see that there's some, like a deacon, they're a little more prevalent, a Sunday school teacher, the pastor. There's some people that are more prevalent than you say, no, they're important. But Paul's saying they're no more important than the prayer warrior, than the track distributor, than the person who serves behind the scenes and makes an impact for the glory of Jesus Christ. They invite a family member. They go and visit in a nursing home. They go and visit somebody who's sick. They take a meal to that person. You may never know it. But that's where the body functions together. That's what Paul's trying to say. And in the Corinthian church, some didn't get involved because they didn't think they had any gift or talent or ability. But others thought it all revolved about them. And Paul said, that's not the way the body works. Because the eye can't say, I have no need of you. The foot can't say, I have no need of you. Because it all works together. And those feeble, and what he's saying, the less noticeable parts of your body that you don't even think about, they are absolutely crucial to the function of the body. And that's why you are absolutely crucial, each one of you, to the function of the body of Christ or his local church. Again, those with notable ministries are sometimes vulnerable to misunderstanding or neglect or lack of appreciation, and it comes sometimes. But Paul just continued his analogy and reminds those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely members, they have more abundant comeliness, and I'll explain that in a second. Those with less honorable parts refer to the parts of the body that are not particularly attractive. The uncomely parts would be presented by the passage, the parts of the body that are considered to be private or covered. Now, can I illustrate this for you? I'm not trying to be graphic or anything, but this has brought reality in my life. Because you know what? I didn't know it growing up. I didn't care. I had a prostate. It was there. I didn't know what it functioned as. I still really don't totally know what it functioned as, but it's a part of my body that I would never even thought about. Until my numbers came back and the doctor said we were getting numbers that there's got to be cancer somewhere. And they went and checked my prostate out. And he took 12 biopsies of my prostate, and in 11 places in my prostate had cancer. So he said it's pretty much a slow-growing cancer, but it's spread throughout all your prostate. You've had it for a while. And I said, well, doc, what's my choice? Well, he said, we can treat it with radiation, we can put seeds in it and try to kill it, or we can just remove your prostate. And I said, well, how do you remove? Well, the prostate you can live without your prostate. And so because it had filled my entire prostate, I didn't want it to go to other parts of my body. That's the avenue I chose, and they removed my prostate. But you know what? Today, every day since that day, I began to understand that my prostate was very important. I battle with things every single day of my life since I had cancer surgery. Since they took out my prostate, I have battles, and I'm not complaining, I'm not griping, because God is in control of everything. And it just reminds me how much I depend upon my Savior. But I learned that prostate, who he said, well, you can function pretty well without your prostate. You really don't need it. But my body doesn't function properly as it could because I don't have my prostate. And the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, doesn't function properly because some folks sit back and say, well, I'm just really not that important. Or some people sit back and say, I have no need of you. I have no need of you because I'm in control. And the church can't function without me. Those are the two attitudes that were being displayed, and it was causing the Corinthian church not to reach Corinth, but to become a dreadful place of fellowship. And it caused so much agony and difference because simply because of the attitude toward the gifts. Again, every person is more, you know, every person in life would, I would like to think, is more concerned about his heart than his hair. But in our society today, now I fixed that problem. But I think people are more concerned about their hair than their heart today. And that's the way it is with the church. Now in verses 24 and 25, it says our comely parts have no need. The good parts, the exceptional parts, the people who stand out, the deacons and the teachers and just the godly Christians, they stand out. They're the comely parts that we look at them and say, yeah, they do not have any need because God has gifted them and they're very talented and they're doing a work. But he says, God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Now, that's an interesting thought. God says, the comely parts, they don't have any need. They can function pretty well on their own. But it's the God has tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacks. See, if you're like me, I'm not a talented person. I don't have many abilities. Now, I know I have some gifts, but I don't have much to offer a church. I don't have much to offer in the way of being mechanical or fixing things up. Now, I love to come alongside our men and do it. I love to help, but I don't have those kind of abilities. I just don't have them. And maybe some of you are like me. But here's what I bring. This is what I love about it. He said he gives more abundant honor to that part which lacks. That abundant honor, I believe, is grace. Grace is the key to the power of the Holy Spirit in the church today. It's grace. So he said, if you don't have those, that gift that's out front and you're making an impact and everybody sees it, he said, that's okay. Because the uncomely parts, the parts that people give less honor to, what you do is I just give you grace so everybody's on the same level in God's eyes. And so every time I walk in those doors, I don't have a lot of talent. I don't have a lot of abilities, but you know what I can bring? Is grace. Grace. That's why some of you say, I don't have anything to offer. Yeah, you do. Grace. And grace is essential to the growing and building of a church. Let me just illustrate what I'm saying. In Acts chapter 4, I don't have time to turn to all these passages, but tremendous passage. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord. This is right as soon after his resurrection. And they gave great witness of his resurrection, and the great grace was upon them. That was where the power lied. It was in the grace of God. It's for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It's God's grace teaching us that denying the ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It's grace. It's grace that brings somebody to Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's by grace. Faith Baptist Church needs grace more than probably your abilities, more than their talent. We need grace. That's why somebody walks in the door that maybe has special needs. As I watch Stephanie come every week, you say, what does she have to offer the church? Oh, she has much to offer because every time she walks in those doors, she brings grace. She brings grace, so she is just as important as a deacon, as the pastor, as a Sunday school teacher, because she gives grace. See, you say, I don't have abilities. I don't have talents. That's okay, because every time you walk in those doors, you bring grace into Faith Baptist Church. Grace is essential. That's why the Apostle Paul, you know the story. I've used it before. It's a tremendous story. But the Apostle Paul, remember when he said, I lest I should be exalted by measure? I went to God three times, and I think it was blindness, but it could have been a number of things. He said, I besought God to take it away, because you know what? If I weren't blind, which we know he was almost blind because he had people write. And the one letter that the one or two letters that he wrote, it was just huge, huge. And they had to bring it down to get it into a book. So we know he had problems with his eyes, probably when he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. Seeing Jesus in all his glory, probably that bright light, probably damaged his eyes. And he said, God, I could be more effective if I didn't have to have people lead me around. How much more effective I could be if I had my sight, if I had my eyes. I don't think he was blind. But you know how much more effective I could be if I could write scripture and see what I'm writing and what I'm doing. He said, I besought God three times to take away that thorn in the flesh that was given to me, for the messenger of Satan had buffeted me. And this thing I besought of the Lord three times. And then he said, then it dawned on me. It dawned on me. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then am I strong because of the grace of God. He said, when I get that grace, the power of Christ rests upon me. In 1 Corinthians 15, he said this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than them all. Why? Because of the grace. It was the grace of God that was in me. Paul said, my success in my ministry isn't my abilities. I was blind, but it was the grace of God. And folks, that's your success in the ministry, is the grace of God. That's the success of Faith Baptist Church, reaching out into a community. It's the grace of God. And Paul says there are some comely members that don't need much grace. They have tremendous talent, tremendous ability. They use their gifts, and it's upfront. It's wonderful. But he said there's uncomely parts as well. But lest one be exalted above another, he said, I give those uncomely parts grace. Boy, yeah, you ask me, would you rather have talents or would you ever have grace? And immediately I'd answer, I'd rather have grace. I'd rather have grace. You know, that's why we brought in a couple hundred bus kids from the Detroit area. They were some rough kids. Rough kids. And I had some people that complained about them because they did some things that shouldn't have done. You know, they took crayons and wrote on the pews. And they were a little bit of a disturbance. But I stood up one day, and I mean this. I said, those kids are so important because what they bring to this church is grace. Grace. I don't care how weak you are, how uneducated you are, how untalented you are. Every time you walk in those doors, you bring grace. And Paul said, that's the key to making a difference. That's why he said that there should be no schism in the body. That somebody who has an uncomely, that we'd consider an uncomely part, is grace. So it puts them on the same level as someone who has all the gifts and talents and abilities there are. Why? That there should be no schism in the body. That the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and the members in particular. Boy, what truth. That there be no schism in the body. Grace puts everybody in the church, every member on the same level of importance. So in Paul's analogy, everyone is important to the maturing and filling of the body of Christ in the church of Jesus Christ. Again, I believe the most surprising experience, we talked a little bit about this last week, will be when you present your rewards at the beam of the judgment seat of Christ. You know, you say, what's Stephanie going to have to offer? She's a special needs. And if you don't know her, you've lost the blessing. She's a loving, loving young lady. special needs. She couldn't care for herself in any way, shape, or form. You say, what does she have to offer Christ at the judgment seat of Christ? Grace. Grace. Probably some things are accomplished in this church because of grace. Now I got a special friend who's a special needs, comes on Wednesday night. His name is John. Can never function on his own. All he knows is Jesus in my heart. Jesus in my heart. You ask him, he'd tell you, Jesus in my heart. But you know what he brings? He brings grace. He brings grace. And that's why it's a joy to have folks like that at Faith Baptist Church. It's a joy to have people who are less gifted and less talented. That's okay. You're not wealthy. You're not this. You're not that. You say, well, what do I have to offer? Grace. And I'll take grace every time over talent and ability. Grace is where the power of Christ is seen. Grace. I think we're going to be amazed. We stand if we could watch, and I don't think it's going to be a public thing. I think the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, is a private thing. But if we could see, I think it'd be amazed at who gets a lot of rewards and who gets very little rewards. I think it'll shock us one day. Because there's some people that overestimate themselves and their importance to Christ. But there's also people who underestimate their importance. But God says, I want everybody to be on the same level, so I'm just going to give you grace. The Apostle Paul was clear that we need grace. And we should care as much about the nursery worker as we do the pastor, as much for the janitor as for the Sunday school teacher. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members are honored with it. Why? That there should be no disdain for one another, no rivalry, no competition, no envy, no inferiority, no superiority. We just need everybody. Because if somebody comes into this church and has nothing to offer, they have come into the body of Christ and have nothing to offer, what they give, God just says, I bestow grace upon them, and you need grace. That's why everybody's important. Paul reminds the Corinthian believers, both individually and collectively, that they are Christ's very body, the church for whom he died. And that church is not lacking in any gift, but the church is perfectly equipped to represent and serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to be a blessing to everybody that we need to be a blessing to. So the church is equipped, folks. We are equipped. You say, well, I'm not a member of Faith Baptist Church. That's okay. When you were saved, you were baptized by Christ into the body of Christ. You received the Holy Spirit with the Holy Spirit and with a gift. Now, it just so happens God uses the church today, not the universal church. We'll see that one day when we get to heaven at the rapture. He raptures all, not just Baptists, but all born-again believers will come up from all churches. That's where you have the universal church. But for now, God works through, I believe, local churches. And he's gifted us exactly with what we need at Faith Baptist Church. So don't think you're more important than anybody else. But don't think you're less important than anybody else. Because if you don't bring in a talent, an ability, and a great usefulness in your mind, if you bring none of that through those doors, there is one thing you do bring, is grace. And when there's grace, there's God's working and God's ability and God's fruitfulness working as a body of Christ. So you say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? saying this. If you think you're more important than anybody else, you might just get rid of that philosophy. Because this church can function just fine without you. This church can function just fine without me. Because it's not built upon people. If you think you have nothing to offer, I hope you go leave this building today realizing that you do have something to offer. If you can't speak and you can't do this and you can't do that, you bring grace. You bring grace. And Paul said, when I labored, it wasn't me, but the grace of God in me. We'll see great things happen when we see the grace of God. That's the body of Christ. What a wonderful picture. How God can use you today. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. My time is gone. Much more on the topic I'd like to say, but I've said enough. Maybe you've been in that first category of inferiority. You say, but I don't have much to offer. Oh, yeah, you do. Because if you're an uncomely part, you have grace. I didn't know how important my prostate was until they took it out. Now I know. Oh, I function just fine. But I'm reminded of it every day. God uses you. He doesn't need you. But he uses you so there'd be no schism in the body. Where do you stand? You have a gift if you're born again. You were baptized into the body of Christ with the Holy Spirit and given a gift. Are you applying that gift? Oh, it may be small. It may be very little. But with that gift, God gives grace. And that makes you as important as anybody in this church is to accomplish his purpose in this community, in this world today. Use your gift. Father, help our people to understand this wonderful, powerful truth that Paul had to get the Corinthians to understand, that nobody was important, more important than anybody else. Help my people to see the importance. Help every Christian in this room to see the importance of applying their gift. Not to benefit themselves, but the gift was given to benefit others. That they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So God, help us to apply the gifts to our lives. Now with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, this won't make any sense to you. Christ died for you to give you eternal life. And so you don't have a gift. Unsaved people don't have a gift. Now, they have abilities and they have talents, but they don't have a gift. They certainly don't have the grace of God. So if you're not saved and born again, would you trust Christ as your Savior today? But if you are saved, you are born again. You have a gift.